A very good morning to you. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. This is the Monday edition for the 29th day of October 2018. I'm David Ellis. We go until 1:30 today. Send your emails to us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can call us at 434-1790, or you can also WhatsApp us at 266-4862. Well, quite a bit has happened over the weekend. The ruling Barbados Labour Party held its annual conference, and that was addressed by the opposition leader from Jamaica, Dr. Peter Phillips. The Prime Minister spoke in what was considered to be the feature address of the Saturday session, and spoke about a number of issues related to the economy and the concerns that have been raised about how the government engaged in certain contracts, and that continues to loom in the air. That is how things were conducted under the former administration and the degree to which this new administration is going to seek to pursue people who might have been involved in unusual and irregular behavior. Today's Nation newspaper is quoting government officials as saying that effective last Monday, government ministers as well as permanent secretaries and other senior officials are flying economy class for flights of 4 hours or less, and for flights of more than 4 hours, they will fly business class rather than first class. And Foreign Minister Dr. Jerome Walcott is further quoted as saying that the recent 5% increase in public servant salaries meant that ministers, who also got an increase, were put in a higher tax bracket, and this meant that they took home on average $1,200 less than they had received the month before. The question for you today is, do you think that goes far enough? What are your views on it? Let's take the first call of the morning. Hello.
Good morning. Hello, Mr. Ellis. This is Grenville from Kings Village.
Yes.
How do you do, sir?
I'm well.
Right. I am sorry that my conversation at this moment may not go down in the particular perspective that you were just bringing. I just wanted to draw something and to let it be made open. So please allow me to speak, and if necessary, you would engage me. So let me come straight to the point and let me be dogmatic. I work, listen carefully, please. I am an ex-Lance Corps, Lance Corporal from the Barbados Coast Guard, 5 years defense and security, and many other jobs I've held here in Barbados. I've just reached pensionable age, and to my surprise, my check came in telling me that my pension is $470, which I receive every 2 weeks. So I found this to be totally and completely ridiculous. When I made my query, which is I got Verla DePease, I think I can call her name, she represented me, and she sent letters to the NIS, and I got back documents. So then I went into them, and I was querying how this is. It's a long story, and I don't want to go into all of that. I do not even like the particular manner in which I was treated. I went further with it, and I got someone, a doctor, so-and-so, I wouldn't want to call his name, to go in there and bring some documents which I now have before me. My documents that I have show me the years I worked in the government, how much money I worked for, and all of that. But surprisingly enough, at the end of the document that I have, at no time do they have what is called NIS deductions. I said, this doesn't make sense. How you can know where you work, how long I work, yet you have no deductions. Again, I made some queries. I got myself nowhere. Quite recently, since the government changed, I was able to speak to the Prime Minister's personal aide, and I deeply appreciate how she moved on my behalf very expeditiously. And she has sent a query concerning myself to the NIS. This is over 2 months, although things take time in Barbados to work. Over 2 months have passed. But the old Bayesian thing is, you know, well, the grass is green, the horse is starving. Married man, bills to pay, etc., and I'm supposed to survive, you know, over $470 every 2 weeks. You know, we say here that it's not what the country does for us, but what we can do for the country. One scenario before I bring the whole thing to an end. I remember when I worked with a lower court special assigned duty because it was in the Coast Guard under Tom Adams. One of the things I had to do there, being inside the building itself, was to check all of his letters, looking for letter bumps, etc. That means that my life was in danger. When we had the Grenada intervention, I worked with the U.S. Army up there, special assignment because of my training. Having done all of this, made my contribution, today I find myself in a situation where the NAS decides that my pension is $470 every 2 weeks. I wanted to hear that, Mr. Ellis. That's why I called. Maybe somebody in the government may hear, I don't know, because I'm getting nowhere. I went to my parliamentary representative, who told me, well, don't worry, Mr. Norby, you know, I know some people at the NAS will look into this. Nothing has happened. So I'm at square one, just barely here surviving with $470 every 2 weeks. Do you want to engage me in any way in saying that, sir?
Did you ever get any pension higher than the 470 every 2 weeks?
No, that's the thing about it. What my particular problem is, I ended up, had to go to Cuba to get surgery on my right foot joint replacement. So they started giving me something under the last administration called, it was $360, something called invalidity benefit. I know from the invalidity benefit which they were giving me, because the Prime Minister said she would increase pensions, I got an increase which brought me to the 470, but they're now telling me that's your pension. $470 every 2 weeks is my pension.
Before you left the government service,
yeah,
did you at any stage inquire as to what your pension was likely to be?
No, I didn't do that. Not as a government, you know. Neither, I didn't do it as a Coast Guard. I didn't do it. I just worked.
What did you come to expect that your pension might have been?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't exactly worked that out, but I thought I can kind of like guess it would have been something reasonable before. Like if they added $30 to my pension as it is right now, it would make me $1,000 a month. Like with me, I am married and my wife is a British retired nurse, so her money runs the home. So in that way, it's kind of like, you know, my head is above water. But she's running everything, but I can't save nothing, I can't buy nothing, because how do you survive with 470? But something has to be wrong. My particular point here before I go is this. How it is that you know where I work, what year I work, how much money I work for, but yet you tell me, even though I work in government areas like Defense Security, Coast Guard, you have no clue, you do not know of any pension and contribution. Maybe that cannot be true.
Well, just,
there's an error in that.
Just let me say that from what you were telling me,
yes,
part of the error might have been committed on your part, which is...
Okay.
Many people work and just have some pie in the sky notion about what their pension is likely to be.
Yes.
But it is important that at all levels we find out about that long before we actually retire.
Yes, it is something
that, you know, is called retirement planning. Because if you don't know, then you are likely to have the kind of shock that you are going through right now.
Has anybody
been looking in detail since all of this erupted at your status over the years? And is that person in a position to give you some, you know, informed opinion as to whether the 470 is too little or whether there is more to come?
I got back a letter from the National Insurance from... it was sent to Verla de Pisa, my lawyer. So they responded to the letter that I sent, making a query, and turning to the back of it.
What did they say?
One small point. I can't read everything. It says that you're supposed to acquire some. It goes like this: have at least 150 contributions paid on one's account. Mr. Norbert's total number of contribution weeks recorded was 487. So. That incest don't even make sense. You're telling me that my contribution should at least be 150 paid in, on my account for me to get some type of pension. Yet you're saying, but Mr. Norman,
no, but it's
number
just,
of contribution this, recorded
hold
was one.
Hold on.
Yeah.
This issue is not just about
your
eligibility for a pension.
It is
about what quantum. How much money are you entitled to get? That is what you are complaining about. You're saying that as far as you are concerned, $470 every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but Mr. Ellis,
is not enough.
Without cutting you, when you take into consideration not only a lance corporal in the Barbados Coast Guard, but a trainee puller at the Bridgetown Harbour, proper salary, special.
Well, you can't. Let's put it this way. I can't really delve into all of those details here.
I would understand.
But I have to be. I have to take into consideration that there are details associated with this matter that cannot be discussed here on the air.
Right.
I mean,
exactly
you've already given a lot more information than most people would. You've given your name, you've given the roles that you played and all of that. And I don't want to be unfair to you by having any more of your personal business exposed before the public.
I started that one of the main objectives of making this call, because I knew that I could not get detail, was that since it is listened by government and other people, that maybe it
you want somebody to,
my
to,
name, somebody
to
might, huh?
address the matter.
Yeah, that was the particular.
But you need to be guided through the whole process. That is what is required here. Somebody has to sit down with.
Depending on without crossing you, sir, is the Prime Minister's personal aide, and she has been.
Well, I think that the people in the NIS. Are ultimately the ones to sit you down.
I went to the NIS and I can't call names.
I don't think that is the way to deal with it. And unfortunately, there is so much that happens in this country that somehow we are losing it in terms of the capacity to communicate with each other. And I mean, public servants have a duty. If that person that you have come into contact with is not the best person to deal with the matter, then somebody else further up needs to sit with you and go through what has happened and how they have arrived at the $470. It is quite possible that based on all that has happened, that may be all that you are entitled to, but there's
sir,
also
but
a
sir,
possibility.
But this,
you have to get to that point.
Yeah, but I cannot be entitled to that when I were all these years.
No. You have to get to the point of the consultation. That is what I'm saying. The consultation is important.
Yes.
All right, and this is what more than anything else you need to push for that. Somebody sending you a letter from the NIS may not be enough to satisfy you as to how you got here.
Yes.
So, I mean, I know they have a lot of issues to deal with, but perhaps what you can do is leave your contact details here with us, and we will see if we can follow up and ask them to address the matter in a more direct way. Okay? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Welcome to the program. It's the Monday edition of the program. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty good, you know. Now, David, I want to raise 2 points with you.
Sure.
But first, I must say this. I want you, and I mentioned this to you before on the previous discussion we had, when you allow people like the same guy who obviously said that he blind with Samuel Don Deacon George, you know the person I'm speaking about?
Yes, tell me.
I want when he come on the program, I want you to listen to him carefully and analyze, I believe you do, but analyze the nonsense that he obviously come on the program with. Now, I spoke to you, I think it was last week, Monday, concerning the way the economy is at the present moment, and what they thought the government of Barbados were doing. And indeed, when I mentioned to you concerning the layoffs and the packages that the workers will be receiving, and I told you that it can be good in that, I don't even want to repeat myself, but I must say this. When I told you that you may find for instance, a mason who going home, he get a package and decide he will work for himself and employ someone else. Right? I told you that. But I think it was a Friday, the same guy that I now mentioned to you came on the program. I told you that I am only saying these things now. And he mentioned that when the Democrat Labour Party under Erskine Sandiford were laying off the workers, I am one of the people who come and chastise the Democrat Labour Party and Ursula Sandford at that time, and also Lloyd. And he said that I was critical of the same decisions that that former government was making. But I had to be critical, David, at that point of time, because at the time when they were sending home public workers, they would just send them out on the streets as though there's a bunch of or a stack of cardboard boxes that they're just throwing out in the dump. They went home with nothing at all, apart from cutting even when they even began to cut their salary. And they didn't have no sort of concern about these public workers to at least say, well, we can give them something to prop you up on for the next couple of months. Not like what this present administration is doing to the workers. They're making sure that these people are going home with something, and they could be self-employed if they want to. So when he came with the nonsense say that I criticize the government, I had reasons then to criticize the Democrat Labour Party and Sir Lloyd Sandy for it as well. So I don't want him to come talking rubbish, which he usually do anyway. Now, I posed a question, David, to Verla De Pisa previously on this program, and I intend to pose the same question to her because I'm fed up with the nonsense that she's talking as well. As far as the economy and the Prime Minister Mayor Motley is concerned. Now, I want Verla De Pisa, the president of the Democrat Labour Party, to come and tell this country how did we get in this position. Excuse me. Because she and the Democrat Labour Party inherit a government with $2.7 billion in foreign reserves. And we should never be in this position that we're in at the present moment. And I will continue to pose this question to Verla De Pisa until she answers that particular question. I see she come to your program about two different times, Brass Tacks Program Standards, and up to this point, then she has mentioned nothing whatsoever concerning the $2.7 billion that they inherit.
What do you see as the government's biggest challenge in all of this right now? I mean, I've heard you in relation to making the comparison between how people were sent home under the Dems and what the government is proposing right now. But what do you see as the government's biggest issue in all of this as we speak?
The biggest issue that the government is confronted with at the present moment?
Yes.
David, I think you shouldn't even ask me that question.
Why not?
I think the biggest problem that the government is confronted with, especially the Honorable Mayor Motley, is the fact that she has to send home these workers. That's something that I know Mayor Motley, I know the individual personally, there's something that she would never ever want to do. A matter of fact, if Prime Minister Motley had the opportunity, she would employ these same people or even more. I know it's very hard.
Where has she gone right and where has she gone wrong in it?
David, I can tell you what went wrong in the laying off aspect of it. I would not cast any blame whatsoever on her. What I was concerned about is after, and I had every confidence to believe Prime Minister Motley, when she came on national radio and assured the workers and indeed the whole of Barbados that when these workers would be going off, they would receive their packages and everything else. And I believe that she had really mean every single word that she said.
So what aspect of the laying off were you dissatisfied with?
That was the part of it that was concerned when people had come to the workers then the Friday and gave them by word of mouth that they would be going home. That is the part of it that I was concerned about. Laying off is something that had to be done because of the bad mismanagement of previous administration. You had to do it, and they know they had to do it as well. And if a Democrat Labour Party had won the government, David, you can rest assured we were in a worse position than we are now. Because I don't even think the IMF would want to hear them. There's no two ways about it. Even before the event, we had this problem, people was refusing to lend our government, that particular government, any sort of funds. There was in a hole. That's why they continue to scrape the national insurance funds. I know you believe they even put their hand in the catastrophe fund as well. I wonder if they still have a catastrophe fund. And speaking about that, David, I'm going to also mention this to you. I'm concerned about the CBC workers that are going home as well. Because I can remember, this is a question that Verla the Peace also got to come and answer to the people of Barbados. Tell us, I want to know if the Democrat Labour Party has been back that loan or whatever it was that had from CBC, that had owed CBC thousands of dollars. And it's bad to see workers at CBC going losing the job now. And the Democrat Labour Party
has $1,000. You have a special responsibility, I suppose, to talk about it from the perspective of a BLP supporter against the Democratic Labour Party. But this is something that has been on social media this weekend that I saw. And this is something that they sent out. I believe opponents of the government sent this out on layoffs. This is a flashback that they sent out over social media.
Depends on what type of forecast you're talking about, because most Bajans tonight can't even see past. The ones who are temporary or who work at statutory boards are all going to be asking themselves this afternoon, is it me? So I don't even know that you can get to that. In terms of the economy, I said already that these measures will not have the desired impact because the deficit will still be unsustainable. In fact, it is still going to be close to double digit. And indeed, the reserves will continue to fall, even if temporarily staved off by the punitive Credit Suisse loan. There is nothing that the minister addressed today that gave us any comfort towards increased economic activity. And fundamentally, put yourself in the position. If you were the minister of, if you were an investor, would you be investing money in circumstances where there is no clarity as to when recovery will come?
So that's one. And then there was another one that they sent out. They mocked this whole idea, give me the vote and watch me.
Christmas and in for the months, first months in the new year.
That's the same old one. But there was another one in which they talked about the size of the cabinet as well. At that time, Ms. Motley, in opposition, was highly critical of the size of the cabinet and felt that, there could have been made certain adjustments that would have kept the cabinet smaller. So that you also have to take into consideration in the public discourse.
Now, David.
Yes.
I heard the recording, play. But mm-hmm. I want to say this, and I'm going to end by asking some questions to Captain Franklin as well.
Okay.
Now, I can remember quite well the amount of lashes even you, David, used to put into Malcolm Tate concerning his consumer organization. You remember that?
Yes.
Not only alone, he used to get a lot of lashes. And people put it down to the notion that it is a one-man organization. Now, my question to Mr. Franklin is this. I would like to know where his headquarters is situated. Is Unity, Workers Union headquarters situated? I would like to know also if there's a succession plan for his organization. I would like to know who is the officers of the same union.
I hope you know that for all the latitude that you're getting here right now to ask these questions and share these lashes, that when the people on the other side of this fence called to put lashes in you, they can get equal time.
No, not at all. There's their privilege there.
Okay.
What this program is all about.
Okay, fair
enough. My last question to Mr. Franklin as well. I would like to know if ever there was a delegates conference by the United Workers Union. Because to me, it comes across as though this is a one-man organization. And I don't believe, in fact, I will stop short there because I'm going to be getting trouble to this. But I honestly would like to hear him answer these same questions, especially the succession plan of that particular union. I thank you, David.
All right. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, David.
Yeah, morning.
Before I go into my main point, I would like Caswell to call the corner program today, not to respond to the small farmer who is on the air that's now. But about some queries I'm going to pose about people who have 18 years in government who were sent home, some 14, I hear somebody say they had any 22 about acting positions. I think I had heard Caswell say that if you've been in an acting position in government for a certain amount of years, I can't remember the amount he stated, but let's say it was 3 years. After that time has passed, you should be given the post. And also, if about people's traveling being lumped into their salary, if that is also fair to that person, well, it goes him to come on the calling program and talk to the public about that. I, too, know that the layoffs have to come. But the question is, if the right people are being sent home. Because there are a lot of big people in government who should also be sent home. Now, I spoke to Dennis, who was moderating the program, when he mentioned this, bus four being placed after the one by the St. Philip District Hospital. Would it be fair now to send home the person who was supposed to be putting that bus four, or the person who was supposed to give them the instructions to put the bus four? That bus four have not been placed yet. The same thing can be said at the mechanical workshop at the Ministry of Transport and Works.
Look, I want specifics. I don't want anybody's name. But can you sit down here and reasonably say that people at the middle and at senior levels in government are not touched by these retrenchments? Because let me just make this point to you. Only this weekend I was made aware of something that is likely to go down today. And among the people who are being touched are senior people. This isn't touching only small people or the people at the bottom. The government has also said that. So in as much as you are alleging this, I would like you to tell me the types of posts that you believe should be abolished that are still there.
Can I respond?
Of course, I asked you a question.
We have a habit of always attacking the roots of the tree. Always. Now, I'm not asking that the post be abolished. I'm asking that the persons who occupy the post be given their walking tickets.
Mr. P., this question was posed to the Prime Minister by somebody who is going home from the public service last week when she spoke to the students at the University of the West Indies. And the person said exactly that. You can't, if you're trimming a tree, you don't trim from the bottom. You trim from the top. The Prime Minister responded to that. You are making a general accusation, and as often happens, when asked to support it, you can't.
Listen to me. The Prime Minister of Barbados don't know everything that's going on here.
Well, you tell us what is going on.
Hold on. Let me speak, please.
You tell us.
You keep on interrupting me. I don't know Mia Molly as in personally, but I know she's a kind-hearted person. And whoever is advising her, she need to look at them. Look at the MTW workshop. I spent a lot of years at MTW. Let me tell you, so go on. During lunchtime, you could have gone out front yard and played cricket during
Hold on. Look, let me tell you something. This ain't got nothing to do with when you used to work at MTW. We're talking about now. You make a charge just now that only people at the bottom going home. But you ain't got nothing else to support it with. Full stop. Going back to yesteryear when you worked in MTW does not address the question that I've just put to you. Down to brass. Pardon? Go ahead.
Hello?
I'm here. I'm listening.
You cannot play cricket anymore because we're more of derelict vehicles that occupy the front yard at MTW.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. You on the air? Hello?
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good too, Mr. Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wickham coming tomorrow?
I expect so.
All right. No, Mr. Ellis, heard the first caller about his pension, and it really jumped out at me. You realize what he was saying?
He was saying, I understood him to be saying that for all the work that he's done in government service, he's only getting $470 every 2 weeks.
But no, don't depart that he mean, Mr. Ellis. What he is saying, the 470 is $235 a week, which is a non-contributory pension. That's what he was saying, that he's getting a non-contributory pension. As a matter of fact, not a non-contributor. He's getting the bottom of the contributory. As a matter of fact, they're supposed to be getting $225, and the bottom non-contributory, the National Insurance had to top it up to bring it up to that. But Mr. Ellis, it is only me that heard Ms. Bontley say that she is going to keep the parity between the pensioners?
I would suggest to you that based upon the conversation that we had just now with the gentleman, it is absolutely necessary for there to be some clarity as to exactly what is happening. I don't know that I can move from there to discuss parity or lack of parity. I don't think that I have, this was conclusive enough.
Well, let me leave his there because he got hit in the lawyer's hand and whatever. They can deal with that. I can deal with me, right? I am a contributory pensioner, right? Miss Motley said in her first speech, her acceptance speech, that she is giving the non-contributory pensioners a $70 a week increase, and that she is going to keep the parity between the non-contributory pensioners and the contributory pensioners. I hear now Mr. Wickham saying that she promises. Has she kept that one, Mr. Ellis?
Well, I need to get back to the specifics of that, because I know that the parity has not been kept exactly the way it was before. However,
Mr. Ellis, don't polish it up.
Listen to me. Let me say something to you. Mm-hmm. I can't remember everything, all right?
It has not been kept, Mr. Ellis. Stop right there. Don't.
Please.
I don't want nothing else to it.
Just please, no, before you get there, please point me exactly to the statement which was made that the parity would be maintained irrespective of.